says it's like a screw. And I'm not sure whether you can see me or not, but... where am I? Yep. Nope. History is like a screw. Every time you turn it round once and it goes in or further, the same sort of things happen. So happens that last time I spoke on these three chapters, which we have, at that time, there was the setting up of the Parliament in Scotland, and they were looking for an assembly in Wales. Now, the Scottish Parliament, again, now, was wanting to have devolution. They want independence. And that really is a wrong saying, because independence means standing on your own two feet. And basically what they want to do is give themselves lock, stock and barrel to the European Union, not knowing that what Scripture says is that when Jesus comes back again to this earth, all the world will go to war against him, saying, we're not having you. So, our first reading is the splitting up of the old kingdom of Israel into Israel and Judah. The United Kingdom was one of convenience, or our United Kingdom was one of convenience. England's people are of mixed origin, ancient British, Romans, Anglo-Saxons, Danish, Normans, and more recently, all the different ethnic backgrounds that have come to live in this country. Scots, Welsh, and Cornwall are all that remain of the original populations driven westwards by the invaders. Recently, Israel were the descendants of one man, Abraham, then Isaac, then Jacob, and through his 12 sons became the 12 tribes. Joseph becoming two, and Levi not given land because they became the priesthood and the Levites. Theirs was not of convenience, but because they were chosen by God. And for disobedience he would rend in two, but not down the middle. Scripture says 10 tribes in two. Now look at that with a slight question mark, as we'll see later. The 40-year reign of Solomon had come to an end. The most glorious time was over, apart from the days of Jesus. But that was a different type of glory. And Rehoboam went to Shechem to be made king. The first plot of land bought in the land was a field containing the cave of Machpelah, in order to bury Sarah in Mamre, which is Hebron. The second was recorded in Genesis 33, after Jacob returned from Padan Aram, in the verse 19 of that chapter, and he bought a part of a field where he spread his tent at the hand of the children of Hamor, Shechem, all that was 100 pieces of money. Shechem means back or shoulder, and is the carrying of burdens. And Jeroboam returned from exile in Egypt. The starting point of his kingdom was Shechem. 1 Kings 12:25. And Jeroboam built Shechem in Mount Ephraim and dwelt in it, and went out from there and built Peniel. The real danger faced by Rehoboam was listening to the young men rather than to the cautious older advisors. The great kingdom established by Solomon needed a great deal of finance to maintain it, as does any kingdom. One can only probably get by maintaining the status quo. But Solomon's finances came from external sources, as for example the insurance business in London today, but with high taxation as well. That brings us round again to today. In these days, when Labour came into power at the time when first looked at this exhortation, they promised that they would not raise income tax in the next 5 years. And they're doing it again this time. But if you thought you would not be paying more to the government then, it was misplaced, as it is now. Apparently, Rachel Reeves is looking at, according to the news, taxing the betting industry. I'd say if you tax up too much, I'll close 1,000 odd shops, 7,300 people will go out of work. Wait and see what happens. And again this morning on the television, there's trouble in America, there's a whole people there complaining and actually going out against President Trump. And one of the placards which was up said, "Elect the clown, expect a circus." But in reality, Trump is what they're complaining about is that he's behaving like the despot Nebuchadnezzar. He's going to do whatever he wants. And to my mind, everything he does is for Trump and nothing else. So, Israel back in time came to Rehoboam and asked for a lower tax rate. 2 Chronicles 10:6, Rehoboam took counsel with the old men that had stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, saying, "What counsel give ye me?" People that spoke to him, saying, "If thou wilt be kind to this people and please them and speak good words to them, they will be thy servants forever." He forsook their counsel, which the old men gave him, took counsel with the young men that were brought up with him, that stood before. There was a choice to be made, as there is every day in our lives. Either he could accede to the people's wishes and ease their burdens. He could concentrate on the private sector, consolidate on what his father had achieved without trying to surpass that achievement. Instead, he listened to the ambitious young men who could not see the Yorkshire saying that cutting your silt according to the cloth. In chapter 10, verse 10, it said, "The young men that were brought up with him spake to him, saying, Thus shall answer the people that spoke to thee, saying, Thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it somewhat lighter for us, and we shall say to them, My little finger shall be thicker than my father's thigh. For though my father put a heavy yoke upon you, I will put more to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions." In the Far East, God would not go down very well. He did not have enough yet grey hair. Well, it's going that way rapidly. Grey hair is still seen as a sign of wisdom. It should denote a lifetime of experience that can be passed on to the younger generation, prevent them from making the same mistakes. From a depleted income, Rehoboam still defends cities along the border with his new neighbour Israel. He was forced to accept that the division came from God. Israel's army would over time diminish and that of Judah would grow. Like modern Israel, defence was a priority. Jeroboam tried to stop Israel from going up to Jerusalem to worship by placing 2 golden calves, one in Dan and the other in Bethel. That upset a great many people. In 11 verse 13 we read that the priests and Levites that were all in all Israel resorted to him from all their territories. The Levites left their common lands and their possession and came to Judah and Jerusalem, for Jeroboam and his sons had cast them off from executing the people of the Lord. God had given them provision, and it was cut off. Whereas the 12 tribes, and one tenth of each tribe was to go to the priests and Levites, that came to an end. obviously from the priestly families, now caught up on their God appointed living. Verse 16 says, and up to them, out of all the tribes of Israel, such as set their hearts to seek the Lord God of Israel, came to Jerusalem to sacrifice to the Lord God of their fathers. And probably many of them never went back. Hence, it's not really two tribes and ten. They're two have been, by circumstances, forced to make a choice. To stay in apostate Israel, or to migrate to the new kingdom of Judah. So the southern kingdom retained vestiges of all the tribes. Wisdom is not always the prerogative of old men. The old men in Rehoboam's kingdom might have expected to retain in their stations. But when jealousy of the younger creeps in, wisdom goes out the window. Jesus had raised Lazarus in our last reading, and the authorities saw him as a threat. Lazarus must have been a popular figure, but not only in Bethlehem, for many had come to mourn and went to the tomb and witnessed the raising, and many believed, but there are some who went running to the authorities. Jesus might return for the Passover, after supper, where Mary anointed his feet, where Jesus rebuked Judas with the words which are as true today as they were then first spoken. For the poor, always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. As here, the Jews turned out in great numbers to see both Jesus and Lazarus. The authorities could see a movement away from their perceived authority. They were losing out to what they thought was this nondescript, and they conspired to remove the proof of Jesus' power by putting both to death. John 12, verse 19. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. But they said that they were losing out, getting nowhere. And desperate times called for desperate measures. Over souls, their God-given right, as Moses' followers, was being rapidly eroded away. In the triumphant entry into Jerusalem, sat upon a young ass, bearing the crowd shouting Hosanna, where the Jews had witnessed the raising of Lazarus. And the Greeks came desiring to see Jesus, and not told if they did or not. But the hour we are to remember was fast approaching, and there was apprehension in Jesus' mind. John 12:27. Now is my soul troubled. But what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. For this cause I came to this hour. Father, glorify thy name. And came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Not glorify my name, but thy name. The two were by the Father's will inextricably bound together. But his glory was a reflection of the Father's in doing his Father's will. Will be repeated again in the garden. Not surprising, knowing that Jesus knew the manner of his sacrifice. Did it thunder? Some people thought so. What? Was it an angel? That was the opinion of others. Did they understand? Probably not. John 12:30, Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for in that case, some of them must have understood what was going on. And Jesus said, for this cause I came unto this hour, yet said that all that was needed at that time, and the response was not for him alone. Now is the judgment of this world come, verse 31, Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up on the earth, will draw all men to me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The beginning of his ministry had said the same to Nicodemus. Nicodemus was there to see it happen. And people answered him, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. Who does say that? How sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man?" Son of Man? Mary was his mother. Yet he was also the Son of God, so that he could say, in John 12:44, Jesus cried out and said, "He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me." Verse 47. If any man hear my words and believe not, I do not. I came not to judge the world, but to save them. How often do we hear the words, "Judge not, that ye be not judged"? Jesus said, "I judge not," for he is not of himself, but of the Father. And as his words also came from the Father, he could say in 48, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken from myself, but the Father who sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatever I speak there, even as the Father said to me, so I speak. Where shall we go?" Well, when Jesus asked his disciples, they said, "Thou hast the words of eternal life." We are carried forward on evil's wings to the time that we look forward to the setting up of the kingdom and the dividing by lot of the land. The borders are specified, as are the order of possession of the tribes. Here, with the lot, it must count families within the borders. And the middle, the oblation, the sanctuary, the most holy place. But back to our first reading and the statement, Ezekiel 45 and 8, "In the land that shall be his possession in Israel, and say, princes shall, and my princes shall no more oppress my people, and the rest of the land shall they give to the house of Israel according to their tribes." You might think that God's princes are the immortal ones, but in 45 verse 9, "Thus saith the Lord God, let it suffice you, O princes of Israel, remove violence and spoil, execute judgment and justice, take away your exactions from my people, saith the Lord God. Ye shall have just balances, a just Eva, and a just Bath. The ephah and the bath shall be of one measure, but the bath may contain the 10th part of an homer, and the ephah the 10th part of an homer. The measure of it shall be after the homer, and the shekel shall be 20 gerahs. 20 shekels, 5, and 20 shekels, 15 shekels shall be your manna. No more grams, no more meters, to return to the standards of Israel. A pure language for the people. Once the earth was of one language, and it will probably end up again in that way, but again the nations, it talks about all kindreds and tongues being in the kingdom. But it was one language and not let it split up over it, and the battle that has gone on since will come to an end. Ezekiel 45 verse 15, "One lamb out of the flock shall be up, out of 200 out of the rich pastures of Israel for a meat offering, and for a burnt offering, and peace offerings to make your reconciliation for them, saith the Lord God." It's no longer 1 in 10, it's 1 in 200. is that because there are fewer sacrifices or more sheep. A bullock for a sin offering on day one, kid of the goats for a sin offering, and a bullock and a ram with salt for a burnt offering for the first 7 days. Prepares the altar to make the priests acceptable before God. First and 7 days, 7th days of the month, a bullock to cleanse the sanctuary. Passover, a bullock for a sin offering, and in the 7 days, 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and a kid for the goats daily. 15th day, the 7th month, is the Feast of Tabernacles. Sacrifices of the Passover are repeated. Sabbath day, 6 lambs and a ram. New moons, a bullock, 6 rams for the lamb. Morning sacrifice, a lamb. Voluntary sacrifices. Evening comes as well. No feast of first fruits or barley or second Passover, or first fruits of wheat, of trumpets, of the Day of Atonement, of dedication, or of Purim. The first fruits are there as Jesus and his saints, as barley and wheat, respectively. Second Passover is not an option. The trumpet, 1 Corinthians 15:52, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And I think that last trumpet is one of the 7 in Revelation, rather than trumpets as we know them. Dedication and Purim were feasts after those ordained by God. That in itself is not wrong, as any deliverance is a course for rejoicing. It will not be carried forward into the kingdom. And Jesus himself attended at least one feast of dedication, missed out the Day of Atonement. And it is Ezekiel 45, verse 17, it shall be the prince's power to give burnt offerings and meat offerings and drink offerings in the feast and in the new moons and in the Sabbath, in all the solemnities of the house of Israel. He shall prepare the sin offering and the meat offering and the burnt offerings and the peace offering to make a reconciliation for the house of Israel. Then perhaps there is a wanting to include those priests in the statements, all the solemnities of the house of Israel. For us, the Passover is our only sacrifice. And not the one in Egypt, but outside the city wall of Jerusalem, where the perfect Lamb of God offered himself. And we remember the sacrifice in the way he had appointed, in bread and in wine, his broken body and poured out blood, so that we might have life. And now we're about to do it. Thank you.